Imagine having a blueprint to your body that you can access and find out a treasure trove of reasons why you might struggle with high cholesterol, or maybe you struggle with depression, or maybe you have no issues with binding biotoxins in your gut. All of that is now available at our fingertips and more. I am so excited to bring you my guest today, Elwyn Robinson. Elwyn is on a mission to change the world by empowering people with crucial self-knowledge that helps them to understand and love themselves as they are, and become aware of their body's unique needs based on their unique genetic blueprint. In this episode, I get raw and real with you all. I allow Elwyn to take me through some of the really important parts of the report that he generates through his company, Genetic Insights. We go deep into several different things that are affecting my cardiovascular health. I share all this information with you so that I can empower you to get into the driver's seat of your health. Elwyn is so generous, he has provided an affiliate link to not only support the Heart Chamber podcast, but to also encourage you to get into the driver's seat of your health. So be sure to listen towards the end of the episode to hear how you can access these incredible reports from geneticinsights.com. So I am so excited. Let's dive right in with Elwyn Robinson. Welcome to the Heart Chamber, hope, inspiration, and healing, conversations on open heart surgery. I am your host, Boots Knighton. If you are a heart patient, a caregiver, a healthcare provider, a healer, or are just looking for open-hearted living, this podcast is for you. To make sure you are in rhythm with the Heart Chamber, be sure to subscribe or follow wherever you are listening to this episode. While you are listening today, think of someone who may appreciate this information. The number one way people learn about a podcast is through a friend. Don't you want to be the reason someone you know gained this heartfelt information? And if you haven't already, follow me on Instagram, two different places, at boots.knighton or at the Heart Chamber Podcast. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. But enough with the directions. Without further delay, let's get to this week's episode. So, Elwyn Robinson, thank you so much for joining the Heart Chamber today. And I am so excited for you to share with me and the listeners about the good work you're doing in the world of genetics through your Genetic Insights company, as well as I was able to do my own report with you, which I have invited you to go through with me, with my audience listening. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much. And thank you for being willing to do that. I've worked with a lot of influencers, and honestly, most of them want to keep it a secret. Like we do it privately. So I'm always very impressed when people are happy to share it publicly. I mean, I have as well, but you know, I just think it's really cool that you're happy to share that with your audience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been through heart surgery, and so every day is a bonus day now, and I have literally nothing to hide because my chest has literally been cut open. So it's like no big deal to me. So first, just set the stage for us of like how you came to do what you do now. Explain this whole process to the listeners so they can have a like a concrete foundational understanding of what we're going to be talking about today.
I'll do the quick version because, as we said before we started recording, we want to get straight into the actual content of it. But I was struggling with some major health issues around 39, 40 years old. I saw a lot of different people. I went to medical doctors, different specialists, private medical doctors. I saw all kinds of alternative practitioners. My issues were not initially with my heart. They were with my digestive system. I had severe pain that no one understood and which wouldn't go away. Painkillers didn't work for it, so that was unfortunate. And it meant I couldn't eat much for a long time, so I lost a lot of weight. I'm 6'3", and I ended up being, 125 pounds, 130 pounds, so I ended up being very, very thin and had severe anxiety and all the rest of it. As I said to you when we spoke before, I could relate a little bit to your audience because at one point during that, I had like a severe digestive episode. I went to the emergency room and they did an ECG on me. And they told me that based on my ECG patterns, I had something called Brugada syndrome, which is a specific genetic heart defect, which means basically you could drop dead at any moment because of this irregularity in your heart. And when I looked it up, it said the average age that you die if you have Brugada syndrome is 40. And I was like 39 and a half at the time. So I was like, wow, okay, this was, you know, and it said, you know, it's dangerous to fly if you have this thing. So I was like, I'm never going to be able to leave the country again and all this kind of stuff. So, and then luckily, you know, fortunately, I went to see then a specialist who was like, attending physician or something, I don't know, the most senior position. And they looked at it and they said, actually, you've been misdiagnosed. But I had a little bit of time there of like, you know, imagining what it's like to be given this kind of heart-based death sentence. And it is very, very unpleasant. So long story short, after trying loads of different, both mainstream and alternative stuff, literally no one seemed to be able to understand what was going on with me. No one was able to help me. And I found out about this genetic testing service that, if you have ever done an ancestry service before, and I'd done 23andMe back in 2013, then you could upload that data straight to this platform. And within a few hours, they can tell you all kinds of interesting things about your health. And I'd done loads of testing of all kinds, blood tests, urine tests, saliva tests, all that kind of stuff by then. And I loved the idea of how quick that was, like getting results so quickly. You normally, it takes a long time. You got to go and see a doctor, all that stuff. So I was like, great. And I was looking for the results. And honestly, Boots, I was blown away at how incredibly accurate it was and how incredibly helpful. Accurate in terms of it explained to me things about myself I hadn't even realized. And it also explained what was causing all of these health symptoms. Now, genetics obviously can't diagnose you, but they can say you have a strong risk for this or you have a strong tendency for that. And then that's something that you can do your own independent testing to verify. And that's exactly what I did. And it allowed me to test for certain things that hadn't occurred to anyone to test for because they were so unusual and rare. And because of that, I finally managed to work out what was going on with me. I wouldn't say that I'm in a perfect position now, but what am I, 180 pounds without putting on any fat. So I feel in a good place. You know, I can eat whatever I want. I don't have pain. You know, I feel a hell of a lot better. And this is really after having lifelong digestive problems. It just got really, really bad when I was about 39 to 40 when I was in constant pain. So yeah, a full resolution. And the thing that really blew me away about it was back when I did the 23andMe testing back in 2013, I didn't have any of these problems, or I didn't have them like strong enough for me to really notice them. It was no big deal at the time. And yet, so I was so impressed that it kind of knew, like if I'd have got my results back then, not this platform existed, unfortunately, but if I could have got my results back then, I would have been able to, first of all, know that I had a tendency to develop all these problems. And second of all, I could have prevented it. And so with that insight and understanding, I was like, right, I need to get this out to other people. And the platform I used was great, but the only downsides to it were that it was very expensive and it was also very complicated. And it was complicated for me as someone who's fully immersed in this world for over a decade. I knew it was a bit too complicated for the end user. So I ended up working with this company to create a version that was much simpler and also significantly more affordable. So really, it's in the reach of anyone, at least in the Western world. So that's the short version.
No, I appreciate that. And I think it's just helpful for people to know where you come from. And honestly, for me, it adds credibility. Like, hey, you have like lived and breathed a really hard health challenge. And what I am hearing you say is you took charge of your health. You got in the driver's seat of your healthcare and said, hey, I'm going to figure this out. And there are just so many people, especially in the United States, who still really believe they're in the passenger seat and that they're powerless. And with this genetic test and the platform that we're about to go through with all my results, I mean, I feel more empowered now. And it's just like, it's like reading a user manual to my own body.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way of putting it. Maybe we'll use that in marketing, if you don't mind. That does make sense. And again, we can't diagnose anything, obviously. But as you just said, like, our goal is to empower you to know that you have these tendencies. And we don't just give you tendencies and risk scores, as you know, Boots. We also are able to provide recommendations, lifestyle recommendations, dietary recommendations, supplement recommendations, which can, you know, make a significant difference. And every single thing that we recommend is backed by research, and, you know, has substantial scientific evidence. There's many, many references to scientific, you know, papers. Almost for every statement we make, there's like a citation or a reference. So it's also something you can share with your medical doctor. Sometimes they're not open to it because medical doctors are very insular. You know, often I've been to medical doctors and told them a different medical doctor has told me something and they don't even want to listen to that. So, you know, sometimes they're not going to be open. But I've also worked with very open, you know, more open-minded medical doctors. And they're, in fact, we work with a couple of medical doctors who use our platform already, and they love it for their patients, because most other genetic testing systems, they are kind of more technical and the doctor has to kind of write a report explaining the results to the patient, whereas ours, we kind of do it for them. So they kind of enjoy it for that reason. So yeah, at least open-minded doctors see it as valid and like to use it. But as you said, it's mainly about self-empowerment. It's mainly so, even if you know, you don't want to, and I have some people like that, one of my best friends, he absolutely refuses to see a medical doctor, no matter how many times I tell him that he needs to, like, he just won't do it. But so for someone like him, it's good that he can, you know, as say, find out these indications about himself, because he had his own health challenges, and then he can order his own testing, which is exactly what he did, and kind of work out what was going on for himself. So I always recommend people go to a medical professional, but technically it is possible to kind of do a lot for yourself as well with this platform, if you're the kind of person who just won't.
Yeah, that's great. And this is such a dense level of material. I have still yet to read through it all, and I've had it for several weeks now. And you really have to be in a good frame of mind, I think. Not because, like, it's bad news or anything, but, like, we are not born perfect, and it's a lot to absorb, and you just really need to be able to regulate your nervous system and not go down the rabbit hole of going to Dr. Google and diagnosing yourself. Like I said, it's like this user manual, and it's more for enlightenment and empowerment, and not to, like, make you feel like you're going to go to bed that night thinking, you know, you have some terminal illness. So I just want to stress that to the listeners. That's my perception or perspective. So
yeah, I completely agree. It could be taken the wrong way if someone is very, you know, I guess, neurotic and, like, looking for things to be freaked out about. What I feel, particularly what I hear a lot, is people who have been to the doctor, they feel terrible in one way or another, and the doctor's told them there's nothing you can do. And this is going to be true for a lot of heart patients as well. Maybe they're already following the dietary advice and it's still not working, or maybe they struggle to follow the dietary and lifestyle advice, and often there's actually very good reasons for that, right? Like, you're told that you need to exercise. Well, you know, some people are in a position where they can't exercise for all kinds of reasons, right? You're told that you should eat, like, low levels of saturated fats, or, you know, don't have any foods containing cholesterol, you know, like eggs and meat and dairy and stuff like that. Well, that may not be the right advice for you. You know, for your genetics, you may feel like you're really missing something when you follow that advice. And I've seen cases of people where they follow all that advice and their cholesterol, their LDL cholesterol levels actually go up and get worse when they eat a supposedly good diet. And so, like, the answers for all those kind of things are in your genetics. So I guess if you're in a state of perfection, if you look at the reports, you could just freak yourself out of all the problems that you might end up getting. But what I see more commonly is people who are really struggling with something and no one's really been able to explain it and help them. And so then it's like, oh God, at least I've got an explanation now. At least I know what's going on, you know?
Well, the cliche, knowledge is power, is a cliche for a reason. Looking at my report, so where should we start?
I would choose cardiovascular health. So you said you haven't been able to go for everything yet. I'm not surprised, because we gave you limitless access, which is literally over 500 reports. That is too much for most people. either people like me who want to go very in depth, or people like yourself who are trying to show everything we do. But for a lot of people, we recommend that they just go for a collection, which is also significantly more affordable, where they just go for one category. So in your case, the cardiovascular health category would obviously be the one that would make the most sense for most of your listeners. Maybe some of them would also be interested in weight loss, or some of them might also be interested in blood sugar if they have, you know, diabetes or something. Often issues like that are correlate with heart issues. But, you know, I would definitely start with cardiovascular health. Yes.
Okay. We are there. And obviously, I don't have any varicose veins, but I'm obviously more likely to have them at some point in my life.
And so just to explain, like, a risk score, what is it? Sometimes we're able to give you a percentage, and sometimes it's more binary. It's just you're either high risk or low risk or medium risk or whatever it might be. You know, you can see it's a combination here. So, you know, you have a high risk of platelet aggregation, high blood pressure. You have a higher risk of homocysteine. You have a higher risk of high cholesterol. And so the reason why we're seeing all the high risk ones first is because you've it's auto selected to have sort by risk. So you see all the bad stuff at the top of the page. If you scroll down, eventually you would actually see, like, you have a low risk for a bunch of stuff as well. You have high risk for ApoB. You have high risk for blood clots. Your NOS3 gene is lower functioning. That's the gene that creates nitric oxide.
Let's talk about that one. So I have a diagnosis of endothelial dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And taking nitric oxide has been one way for me to treat it. And I don't think I have actually looked at this report. So yeah, I've talked to quite a few heart patients, particularly ones with my congenital defect of myocardial bridging, that once they've had their open heart surgery, afterwards, they struggle with endothelial dysfunction like I do. And so, like, it's super helpful for me to know that this is an issue for me anyway, genetically, and that it isn't necessarily likely tied to the fact that my coronary vessels were trapped in my heart muscle.
Yes, this is probably a tendency that you've had your whole life. And obviously, once things go wrong, then they become exacerbated. But it would have always been an issue to some degree if you have that specific gene slow. And so, you know, we have a variety of different reports. Most of our reports are more talking about big picture stuff, like whether you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol or whatever. But we also do have a few reports that focus on specific genes, and that is one of them. And it's some of the most important genes. And so, yeah, the reason why that's one of the most important genes, it's like in our top 100 list there, is because it is, you know, the main gene that creates nitric oxide. And so if the gene that does that is functioning slower than average because you have a specific variant, we call them SNPs, which stands for single nucleotide polymorphism. But it basically means like a mutation or a variant. It's where you just have a slightly different DNA code than the average person. Then that means that the gene runs more slowly, and then that means that you'll struggle to make enough nitric oxide. And so that's where, you know, taking drugs or supplements that support the production of nitric oxide could be more appropriate for someone with your genes than maybe the average person who might not need that.
Okay. Thanks for that explanation. And can you see this report?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, perfect. So notice I've got two SNPs, right? So how would you talk to me about this now?
Yeah, so some of the reports are literally evaluating millions of these genetic variants called SNPs. Some of them only evaluate one. And so in this case, because we're talking about a specific gene, there is only two SNPs that we're looking at that are relevant for the function of this specific gene. So genes control enzymes. And enzymes, most of us have heard of enzymes, but we might think of it as like digestive enzymes. That's what most people kind of are familiar with. But enzymes are actually the controllers of every chemical reaction in the body. And chemical reaction is like turning one thing into another thing. So in this case, it's turning, you know, nitrogen, oxygen into nitric oxide. So that's what this enzyme does. If your enzyme is fast, then you're going to create a lot of nitric oxide, maybe too much. If your enzyme is slow, then you're going to create not enough nitric oxide. And so, yeah, you've got two SNPs, and you can see the top one there. It says that you have genotype CC, and you can see it's written in red there. And so what that means is, So that's the SNP. So genes are like a long line of code with four letters. You know, binary, they have ones and zeros, if you're familiar with that. Like everything that you see on a computer screen is all just comes from ones and zeros. So mine and your human code has four letters, A, C, T, H. And so, as it says there on the left, if you have a certain genotype, actually, no, it doesn't say it there. But if you have a certain genotype, that's kind of the normal one. But if you have the, if you have two C's in that position rather than two G's, then that means that variation in your genes will make that enzyme run more slowly, which means that you will naturally struggle to make enough nitric oxide.
Well, it even is saying it can block the production.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it goes far enough, yes, but that's possible. Block just means slow down. Block doesn't mean 100%, but it means reduce, yeah.
Well, and I'm just looking at, and here it says, however, the T variant at this polymorphism is the one associated with myocardial infarction.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying to read.
It is, but you don't have the T there. You have two Cs. But yeah, but it's saying that specific SNP, so RS2070744, the C can be bound that blocks the production, so it reduces it, whereas the T blocks it. But that's all about that one SNP.
Okay, got it.
But some of the other effects that it does mean, which are bad news, as you're just scrolling, you're seeing now, high blood pressure, higher vessel stiffness, increased risk of complications after heart surgery, and reduced effectiveness of conventional and alternative therapies. So they are unfortunate, real issues that, you know, you need to be aware of. And it's one of those things, you probably would have been better off having this information before you had, you know, required hospitalization, just like I would have been better off having this information before I required hospitalization. But still, it's better now than not having it, right? It first of all allows you to, you know, as you said, realize that the drugs you're taking are necessary, maybe supplementation as well, you know, like citrulline, for instance, can support nitric oxide and various other things, nitrates, some people like to use beetroot extract, stuff like that. That may actually be there in the recommendations. I can't remember. I'm just saying a couple of things off the top of my head. But yeah, it's useful to know. And I feel like also it allows you to have more compassion with yourself, because a lot of people, we can blame ourselves, you know, we can go, oh, or we can be upset with the world or God, like, God, why would you do this to me? And, you know, stuff like that. And you can just say, you know what? Everyone gets dealt some bad genes, right? Whenever I meet someone who literally has no health problems, like, oh, I've never been sick a day in my life. If I dig in with them, I tend to find they always have mental health problems. They have depression, they have anxiety, they have psychosis, they have all kinds of issues. So it's like, there is no 100% healthy person out there, right? If it isn't showing up at all in their body, then it's showing up in their brain with some, or, you know, in emotional issues and stuff like that. So everyone has problems somewhere. You have problems in your cardiovascular system. That's probably not a surprise, right? But what can be helpful is to know what those problems are and what you can do to mitigate the risk.
Well, and I am frequent in the gym. I absolutely love to mountain bike. I love to climb mountains and ski them. And now I know why I'm just not that fast. Right? Like, it isn't just because I am only 5 feet tall. It isn't just because I've had open heart surgery. Like, I also have this nitric oxide issue. And you are absolutely right, Elwyn. It helps me be more compassionate with myself rather than just like being down on myself. I'm not super critical of myself every time I need to use a stool to reach the top shelf in my kitchen. So it's about meeting ourselves with grace and radical acceptance. And I'm just really thankful now I can do what I can with, you know, with my body as it is. Like, it's such a privilege to be able to move my body the way I do. So which one should we talk about next?
So that was like a specific gene. If we look at, was there like high cholesterol or high LDL cholesterol, maybe something like that? That's pretty important as well. Do you want to look at one of those? So homocysteine is a specific blood test that's fairly easy to get. I think it's usually about $50. You can usually ask for it as an add-on if it isn't included in, you know, what your insurance does. And it is an excellent predictor for various kinds of disease and also lifespan. But heart disease is really at the top of the list. And so homocysteine is a specific kind of toxic form of an amino acid called cysteine. And it builds up when your body has a problem doing something called methylation, which some people have heard of. It's become a little bit more of a buzzword in the health world these days. And the great thing about homocysteine is if you have a tendency to high homocysteine, and then if you test that, which as I say is not that difficult, and it turns out to be true, resolving it is actually very, very easy. Resolving high homocysteine, even though it's a major predictor of heart issues, is usually just a matter of taking a few B vitamins. And at the most, maybe sometimes one other supplement as well, which has methyl donors like choline. So this is something that for $10, $20 a month, you can basically resolve a test that even by mainstream medicine is considered a good predictor for cardiovascular disease. So obviously, it's not the only cause, it's not the only contributing factor to cardiovascular disease, but if it is one that, for you, which it looks like it could be because you have a high risk, then it's something that is worth testing, or maybe you was already in a test that you've already done, but you just, you know, you weren't aware that you should be checking it. And then, as I said, like lowering homocysteine is really, really simple. It's just basically about taking B2, B3, B6, B12, B9, just those B vitamins, if you take adequate doses of the right kinds, will significantly reduce it. So, yeah, that's a good one to know about. You can see it there. It says, you know, up to 55% of the difference in homocysteine is based on genetics. So meaning, doesn't matter how healthy your diet is, doesn't matter how much you exercise, you know, all of those kind of factors. If you're just unlucky and you have that tendency for high homocysteine, you're going to need a lot more of those B vitamins and maybe methyl donors to bring it back into a healthy range. And that's a very helpful thing to know.
The genotypes in red are the concerning ones. Is that how you would say that?
So yeah, this one's based on 24 genetic variants. Because again, this is a lab marker rather than something very broad like high blood pressure. So we're not testing that many variants for that. But yeah, you have enough that have the high risk variant SNP that, you know, you are classified, considered to be high risk. And you can see lifestyle factors also affect it, like stress, cigarette smoke, alcohol, certain medications. But actually, B vitamin deficiency is probably the biggest risk factor of all. And that's really, you know, the way to resolve it.
And luckily, I don't drink, I don't smoke. I try to stay away from stress. It's really empowering to read all of this.
And you can see with each recommendation, that it has an impact score and an evidence score. So some recommendations we include it in there because it could be very impactful, but honestly, there isn't much research on it. So then we give it a much lower evidence score. Maybe there's only one or two papers. In this case, this recommendation number two here is dietary B vitamins, like we just talked about. There's loads of evidence that that is effective, which is why I said it so confidently. So we gave that one an evidence score of 5 out of 5. And ditto, I also said it confidently because, as I said, not only is there evidence it will work, but there is evidence it will work a lot. Like, that's really all you need to do is to take enough of these B vitamins and it will bring your homocysteine back into a good place. And so, again, we gave that an impact score of 5 out of 5. As we scroll down, we tend to get recommendations that have lower and lower research and impact scores. So at the bottom of the list, there might be a couple of things that for those who are really committed, they want to do everything, then you can try some things, but they may not have as much evidence and they may not have as big an impact. And that's why we tend to prioritize them for you based on the highest impact ones at the top and then the lowest impact ones at the bottom. And then, as I said, for those super dedicated people, they can go through and do them all. But the vast majority of people who are busy like yourself, you would just kind of do the top three. And doing the top three is probably more impactful than doing every other one put together. Like, those are really the ones you want to focus on.
That's great. Okay, let's move on to another one. High cholesterol?
Let's get a lot of recommendations because there's a lot of studies about different things you can do for that. We're working on that actually to limit that because we wanted to give people all the information, but we realized we were overwhelming people. So we are rolling out an update soon that will be reducing that a bit. But yeah, so this is a good one for you to see an example. So this, you actually got a percentile score here because there is a lot of research about cholesterol. We're confident enough that we can say not just that you're high or low risk or medium, but we can actually give a percentage. And so you're 85th percentile, which is top 15%. So meaning if you're in a room of 100 people, you would be in the 15 people with the highest cholesterol or at least that's the genetic tendency. Having said that, the mainstream science is what it is, and everything in genetic insights is only mainstream science. As I said, pretty much every sentence you can see a little blue R there. Everything we say is backed up by research. I would say the more cutting-edge research coming out these days is that high cholesterol, even at the top of the reference range, isn't necessarily a bad thing and is actually protective in some ways. It's more LDL cholesterol and some of those other types like ApoB and stuff like that that are, you know, more challenging. But I would still say that high cholesterol is a sign of a problem. I just don't think it is necessarily the problem in itself. It's more a sign of a problem, if that makes sense, which is why I'm not a big believer in taking statins. I wouldn't personally take them if I had high cholesterol. In fact, I did have high cholesterol, and I chose an alternative strategy for lowering, which was effective, because cholesterol is also the building block for all the important sex and adrenal hormones in your body, like progesterone and estrogen and testosterone and cortisol and all these things that you need. So when you block your body's ability to make cholesterol, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it stops it from building up in your walls of your arteries, that is true, but it also leaves you depleted in these hormones that actually make you feel like life is worth living, you know, without exaggerating.
Can you dive in a little bit more on that? Because I know so many of my listeners are likely on statins before we go back to the reports.
Well, I can tell you that 100 years ago, if you walked into a doctor's office and you said, I'm overweight and I feel cold and I feel tired and I feel unhealthy and I don't feel like exercising, they would check your cholesterol. And if it was high, they would say, oh, you're hypothyroid. Your thyroid is underactive. So cholesterol is a building block on the way to other things. Your body makes vitamin D3 out of cholesterol. Your body makes DHEA out of cholesterol, which is the longevity hormone, some people call it, the youth hormone. Your body makes testosterone, which is the manly hormone. Your body makes progesterone and estrogen, which are the female hormone. Your body makes cortisol, which is a stress hormone, but it's also what gives you energy. So all of these important hormones are built out of cholesterol. And when you just stop your liver from making cholesterol, yes, you will reduce the amount that's building up in the arteries, and it may be life-saving, so I'm not against it totally, but I would prefer to, rather than reducing the production of cholesterol, to increase the conversion of cholesterol to the next thing, which is actually this hormone called pregnenolone, which is the master hormone that your body makes all the other hormones out of. And as I said, one of the main things that's required to turn that excess cholesterol into the hormones is thyroid hormone, which I believe that underactive thyroid is probably the most underdiagnosed medical condition in modern medicine. Actually, ironically, it wasn't, as I said, about 100 years ago. It was very common. You go into a doctor, you'd say, you know, I've got all these usual symptoms that almost everyone has. You know, as I said, low energy and, gaining weight, high cholesterol, all of that, feeling cold, all that kind of stuff. And they would just give you a little bit of thyroid medication. And then and you'd come back and you'd say, I feel better. Okay, great. I don't feel any different. They give you a bit more. And they'd keep you giving you a bit more until you feel better. And then that's basically how they used to do it. And then for all kinds of reasons, which you could say it was an error, you could say it's a conspiracy. I don't really know, of course, I wasn't there. But for whatever reason, they decided to stop doing that, and they started to give people antidepressants, and they started to give people cholesterol-lowering medication, and they started to give people weight loss drugs. You know, in the 50s and 60s, it was like amphetamine-based stuff, you know, diet pills. These days, it's Ozempic, but whatever. And as I said, the conspiracy theorists could go, maybe they're selling you all these other drugs because it's a lot more profitable than just giving you a little bit of thyroid glandular, which is what they used to do back then, which actually kind of resolves all of those issues in most cases. So the other thing is, yeah, statins are kind of based on mycotoxins. So they're something that's innately toxic. So that's another reason it's maybe not ideal. Although, to be fair, a lot of drugs are based on, you know, different plant compounds and toxins. So that's not, you know, super unusual. So yeah, as I said, rather than stopping my body making cholesterol, I would prefer to encourage my body to convert the cholesterol into all kinds of other wonderful things that make me feel good.
That just sounds like the most gentle, healthiest way of handling those issues. At the end of the day, it's a lot of marketing. It's a lot of who has an in with the FDA in the United States, especially. We hear about that all the time. And again, I just want to encourage my listeners to be proactive and really hone in on your intuition. And this is all backed by science. And that's another thing that I really appreciate, Elwyn, is that all these reports do link back to research. I have interviewed people in the past that don't live in the United States who have a very unique view of our healthcare system in the United States, or they would even say sick care instead of healthcare. And we also need to be mindful of, like, well, who's doing the research? And I'm sure you guys at Genetic Insights are probably looking at that.
Yeah. As I said, Genetic Insights, because we have to be FDA, FTC, everything compliant, we don't say the kind of stuff I just said in our reports because we have to, you know. Everything I just said is backed by research. Like, no biochemist would argue about the fact that cholesterol turns into pregnenolone, which turns into progesterone. Like, all of that is complete mainstream science. No one would argue that increasing T3, which is a thyroid hormone, would increase the conversion of cholesterol to pregnenolone. So all of that is 100% mainstream science. But for some reason, the strategy of doing that, even though, as I said, it used to be done all the time and it used to be the go-to strategy, has changed. As I say, you can just look at the motivation for that. Have they stopped doing that because they actually came up with a better way of doing it? Or have they stopped doing that because there was more money in selling, you know, lots of patented drugs rather than one, you know, animal glandular, which at the time was very cheap? It's up to you for you to do your own research and decide.
Great little side trail we just took there. Can we look at, like, maybe one more report?
Sure, yeah. Well, how about platelet aggregation? Because, you know, there's a lot of focus on cholesterol, but as I'm sure you know, Boots, most actual heart attacks and strokes actually occur as a result of a clot breaking off and getting stuck, right? As opposed to, so the layer of cholesterol and calcium and other stuff, but those are the main ingredients that forms arterial plaque, obviously is the thing that increases blood pressure in many cases, not in all, like in your case, actually, maybe something else going on, right? Which is the nitric oxide deficiency, but arterial plaque is usually one of the main things that it's focused on. But actually, arterial plaque and breaking off and creating a blockage is less common than a clot breaking off and creating clots. So anyway, this tendency for excessive aggregation of platelets is super, super important. And it is definitely an early warning sign of cardiovascular incident, which I think is under focused on. So if you have a genetic tendency for that, that's something you should be aware of. And, you know, we haven't looked at recommendations yet, but straight away off the top of my head, I would say take, you know, either foods like garlic and stuff like blood thinners, or, you know, supplements like natokinase, which I think is quite popular these days, lumbrokinase, any of these kind of enzymes which stops the aggregation of platelets can literally be like a life-saving intervention. And I won't say anything too controversial on your podcast, Boots, but there is an increase in myocarditis. I think everyone knows that, you know, these days for whatever reason, and COVID side effects or whatever. And so this is becoming more of an issue now than it ever has been. There's all these people kind of dropping dead mysteriously, and platelet aggregation is a big part of that. So if you have a genetic tendency for it, then it's something you really, I would say, is a good idea to be aware of. It's something to test regularly. I would personally test it frequently if I had that genetic tendency. In fact, I do.
What do you test specifically for that?
It's literally platelets. You can do MPV as well, the mean platelet volume. But yeah, platelet aggregation is a lab marker. And you can see for this one, 45 to 60% of the differences are genetic. So again, all the lifestyle and dietary stuff that you may be doing right isn't necessarily going to be enough if you have that genetic variant. And it looks like, unfortunately, you do, Boots. So that's something to be aware of. If I were you, I definitely would be taking one of those enzyme kind of formulas, either natokinase or maybe, you know, the natural ones like bromelain and, you know, something like that, the pineapple based ones. We'll see what the recommendations are here. I'm just all going off the top of my head right now.
Can we just do one more? This is so fun. So the LDL has 176 pages. That's kind of amazing.
And you can see in this case, we're evaluating 1,366,051 genetic variants. So there's a lot of computation. Just to explain, you know, we have a team of several dozen full-time scientists who are working on this, you know, evaluating the research, putting the research together. And then we have several dozen AI engineers. So they're the ones who are actually, you know, making the computations actually work, which is why our system really is better than others. Most genetic reporting systems, not that your customers may be aware of any of them, your listeners, but a lot of my customers, they're not aware of any of the others. But just like, you know, most of the others, they'll just say, oh, you have this variant, this means this. But they're not crunching the numbers of like millions of variants sometimes like we are. Anyway, so yeah, top 15% ApoE, you can see that gene there is at the top. That's probably one of the most famous genes because it is like one that can impact, honestly, unfortunately, longevity if you have a variant with it, for this reason among others, but I'd say that, you know, this is the main one because of cardiovascular health. So the good news is, say with this, there's going to be a lot of recommendations for how to reduce your levels of LDM. Just to explain with the recommendations, they are unique to you. So if you, let's say your husband or your brother or whatever, if they looked at their same report, your recommendations would be similar because ultimately the strategies to LDL, to lower LDL are the same, but you would have it in a slightly different order because you have, you know, different genetics than that person, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does. That's what I love. It's like a mini medical school, Elwin. This was interesting. Tell me about red yeast rice. That's super interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience of using it personally, but I am aware of it as being one of the top three kind of herb. I mean, depends how you define herb, but, you know, like natural plant-based products that are actually effective at reducing LDL cholesterol. There is a lot of research behind it, which is why, as you can see, it has a, you know, 4 out of 5 evidence score. It's pretty well researched and effective. So for me, I also had above reference range LDL cholesterol. I lowered it with thyroid supplementation personally, so I never went to that. If I hadn't have done that, or if it hadn't have worked, then that would be probably my next stop would be red rice yeast.
Interesting. Obviously, like I said, we could go for the rest of the afternoon about this. I just feel so lucky that I've had the opportunity to meet you, that you let me have access to all the reports. I've only been focusing on heart in preparation for our episode, but I can't wait to read the rest of my own body's user manual.
One of the things I recommend looking at is the nutrients category as well. That's really fun because you know, there are certain things, like, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but say if you have an increased need for magnesium, or if you have an increased need for vitamin K2 or a few things like that, they can have a really big impact on heart health as well. Like K2 helps to pull the calcium out of the arteries. Magnesium helps to relax the blood vessels, and obviously you have a tendency for them to be too constricted. So that's a really fun one that I'd recommend looking at as well. Probably next, probably my next recommendation after the cardiovascular one.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And can people who choose to engage with this platform, can, like for me, can I send this on to my healthcare provider?
Yeah. Some people download the reports and forward them. Some people send their login information, you know, straight to their doctor. As I said, some doctors aren't open to anyone else's opinion, including other doctors. So it totally depends on how open-minded your doctor is. But absolutely, we have had plenty of people do that. Actually, I haven't had any negative feedback yet, but I'm sure it will happen. You know, I know a couple of medical doctors, not chiropractors or anything, but actual GP kind of doctors who are utilizing genetic insights with great success. So yeah.
Incredible. Any other parts of the reports that would be helpful that we didn't go over today that we want listeners to think about when they sign up for this, which I hope all of them will? Anything else you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, so if you are happy to take the plunge like Boots and go for the limitless, we call it, or the you know, all access package, then you'll have access to everything. And I mean, other categories I would suggest you look at, one would be blood sugar balance, because there is a big correlation between insulin resistance and heart disease. And so we have reports on insulin and blood sugar and hypoglycemia and all that kind of stuff. Detoxification is an interesting one, because one theory about cardiovascular health, which I very much subscribe to, I did cover this on an episode on cardiovascular health on my podcast, which I would recommend people watch, is that the reason why we build up arterial plaque on the arteries is actually partly, even though there's a genetic component to it, some people more likely than others and all that kind of stuff, it's often actually in response to toxicity in the bloodstream. And, you know, for me, it might be lead. For you, it might be mycotoxins. You know, different people have different things. So working out if we have that challenge with detoxification. So basically, if your liver can't deal with the amount of toxins that it has to deal with or the type, then it will shunt it back into the bloodstream for the kidneys to filter. And in the meantime, it's damaging the lining of the arteries, which is why your body then forms a protective layer of plaque and platelets to basically stop there being micro tears, like internal bleeding. So it forms this protective layer, but this protective layer can get so thick that the blood pressure becomes too high and then chunks break off and kill you. So detoxification is another factor. Nutrients is another factor, like I talked about, like a few, you know, if you're low in magnesium, if you're low in K2, if you're low in certain B vitamins. I mean, that's the best case scenario, is like literally you can prevent cardiovascular disease just by taking a few supplements or eating a few foods that are high in a specific nutrient. That's like an ideal scenario. And in fact, that is often the case. It can be as simple as that, although it isn't always. So yeah, I'd say those would be other things that are definitely worth looking at. And then lastly, because we're talking about the heart, you know, there's a reason why the heart is associated with feelings, right? And one of my favorite categories is emotional well-being. And, you know, there's a big correlation between stress and heartbreak and psychological trauma and all of these kind of issues. And we even have a psychological trauma report. And of course, our genetic reports can't predict whether you're going to go through something traumatic, but they can predict whether it will affect you strongly. You know, and that's something I feel that has an impact. I feel that, you know, there's the placebo effect, which is that you can heal yourself of your mind, or you can heal someone that believes you're giving them something. There's also something called the nocebo effect, which is that you can actually harm yourself of your mind. And I've experienced it myself. I've seen people get into really negative emotional mental states who just drop dead of something that was unexplained by the doctors. Like, I've had that happen several times in my life to people I knew. So I really believe that the power of the mind is really big. And if you do have that tendency for depression or anxiety or panic attacks or addictions or whatever it might be, to find out there's a genetic component to that and then to get some recommendations can be really helpful. So, yeah.
Wow. It's incredible. And so two more things I want to cover with you. Number one, tell us all the ways we can find you. And then number two, you and I are partnering up and you want to offer up this incredible resource to the listeners. So start with bragging about all the great ways we can connect with you and listen to your podcast.
Oh, thank you. So my podcast is called The Rejuvenate Podcast with Elwyn Robinson. You should be able to find it just through my name on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, and all the usual places. I do have an episode specifically on cardiovascular health, which I think would be of interest to your listeners. I can maybe provide you with a link with that to put in the show notes or something if you're interested. Other than that, if you go to geneticinsights.co, not .com, that would have cost a fortune, and we decided we'd rather spend the money on developing the technology. But if you want to go to geneticinsights.co, that will bring you to the Limitless page that kind of tells you about everything. But you also see a drop-down menu there under Genetic Insights. You know, as I said, we have collections based on cardiovascular health or blood sugar or weight loss or whatever you're interested in. But I think what I'll do is I'll give you also the link to the cardiovascular collection, because I think that would be probably of the most interest to your listeners. And then, yeah, in terms of the partnership, very happy to say, you know, because, you know, I'm really a big fan of what Boots is doing and her mission to help you guys. I wanted to support it. And so we're offering a special 25% discount exclusively for your listeners. And the coupon code is HEARTCHAMBER. You can just apply that at checkout. Just to explain the technicalities just for a second, if you've ever done 23andMe or anything like that, like, or Ancestry.com, like Boots and I had, then you can get your results within a few hours. If you haven't done that, then you can get a DNA kit from us, but it does mean it can take anything from a few weeks to even a couple of months until you get your result. If you decide to add, you know, our Genetic Insights collections to check out, a little thing will pop up saying, do you need a DNA kit? So make sure if you haven't ever done one of those tests before that you do add that, because that is necessary in order to be able to get your results. So yeah, geneticinsights.co, coupon code HEARTCHAMBER.
Yay! Thank you so much, because we heart patients, it's already so expensive to be us. And so thank you for giving us a coupon code. And then, because we're so empowered and knowledge is power, maybe it will cost less over time for us because we're all more proactive because we have this user manual to our bodies.
Absolutely, yeah. And on top of all the reports, there's a lot of other resources like further support and all the rest of it. We try and give you all the support that we possibly can. So, yep.
Awesome. Well, Elwyn Robinson, this has been so fun. I mean, obviously, I kind of have a few things I need to work on with my genetics, but because I know about it now, I can be proactive. And I also am completely comfortable with the fact I won't live forever. While I'm living, I might as well live the best life I can. And that's why I'm so excited about this. I want to optimize the remaining days of my life, and I want to feel great. And so thank you for giving me and our listeners a tool to achieve that.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for letting me share it with your listeners.
Well, you've heard it here, and go to the show notes to find Elwyn. And thanks again. And we will be in touch. Thank you for sharing a few heartbeats of your day with me today. Please be sure to follow or subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening. Share with a friend who will value what we discussed. Go to either Apple Podcasts and write us a review, or mark those stars on Spotify. I read these, and your feedback is so encouraging, and it also helps others find this podcast. Also, please feel free to drop me a note at boots@theheartchamberpodcast.com. I truly want to know how you're doing and if this podcast has been a source of hope, inspiration, and healing for you. Again, I am your host, Boots Knighton, and thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday for another episode of The Heart Chamber.